1-0 on Vinny Pasquantino. And he swings and absolutely crushes one to right field. A brand new week as the reigning American League Player of the Week. And he clears the seats in right field and gives the Royals a 2-0 lead.
The Italian Nightmare. Italian Sausage. Oh, okay. But it's Italian Nightmare. Italian Sausage is good, too, by the way.
Yeah. Chicken Sausage. Parmesan.
Chicken Parmesan. Parmesan.
Yeah. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Fettuccine.
The Twins. Fettuccine's good.
Yeah.
This is not right.
I'm,
to talk food.
I know.
I have not eaten anything so far this morning.
I know.
Yesterday after the show, we got talking about food. Dusty's talking about going to some burger joints and this and that. I'm like, you're a jerk. I haven't eaten anything yet today. Oh, this really delicious burger and fries with everything. Dusty, I haven't eaten yet, man. I was stewing inside.
We have too many sponsors in the morning show for food.
No, we don't. We need more.
Like plumbing supplies, and just so I don't think about food in
well,
the morning.
If we eat too much, we do need plumbing
right,
supplies.
Well, yeah,
yes.
That's but, no.
That paints a pretty picture now,
well,
doesn't
it? I didn't mean to do that, but
yeah. But anyway, the Italian Nightmare, Vinny Pasquantino, was yesterday before the game, he received the American League Player of the Week. He hit an American League best 4 home runs this past week on that Royals homestand, hit .455, 10 for 22 at the plate, OPS of 1.045, 23 total bases, hit safely in all 6 games, struck out just once. First Royal to win an AL Player of the Week award since Andrew Benintendi, which was just last year in September of 2021. I always love that. It makes it sound like it's been forever, but oh yeah, it was just last season. Yeah. He's the first Royals rookie, though, to win the award since Mike Aviles. Go back in the time machine. Mike Aviles back in 2008. Remember him? He was really good. He was like second, I think, in the Rookie of the Year voting that year.
Yeah.
He had a really good first couple of years with the Royals.
Yeah, that's something that didn't pan out, right? Like that kept consistent.
He at least lasted longer than Mike Kingery. If you remember Mike Kingery, he was awesome for about a month or so and could not be pitched to. And then ended up being like a .215 career hitter or something like that. Came down to earth very, very quickly. So the Royals, Vinny Pasquantino, the two-run homer. Royals are up 2-0 yesterday thanks to that home run, but the Royals couldn't hold it. The bats go silent the rest of the way. Twins come back and win 4-2. Royals at first and third, two outs, top of the ninth, but former Royal Jorge Lopez, who was traded from the Baltimore Orioles to the Minnesota Twins, got MJ Melendez hit into a double play to end the game. It's his 21st save of the year. Chris Bubich wasn't great last night, but at least got him through 5 innings, 4 runs, 10 hits, took the loss, did strike out 7. He's 2-7 on the season. Royals now 48-69. Twins are 59-55. Game 2 of 3 of the series is tonight. Zach Greinke, 4-7, ERA at 4.29 on the hill for the boys in blue. At Target Field in Minnesota, first pitch at 6:40. Mike Matheny on last night's missed opportunities for his offense.
Had a couple guys. Michael Massey, I thought he had his too. I was surprised that ball didn't get out. That's a tie game right there. But it came down to some missed opportunities. 6 was a huge opportunity for us. And we got second and third, and we got nobody out. We got to create some damage. We got to get something done. And, you know, unfortunately, that one slipped away, and we weren't able to get really anything going there until the ninth. And once again, double play got us.
Yeah, rookie Michael Massey, a couple of base hits last night. He's done a good job since being called up, playing second base for the most part. And the Royals do lose, and they'll be back in action tonight. All right, athletic practices began yesterday, many of them football teams in particular practicing last night due to the hot weather, but now it's going to cool down, it looks like, for the rest of the week. So they only had to deal with that for perhaps one day, and we have our broadcast schedule put together for football.
Yeah, it's all posted there. Check out ncksports.com. Football season starts on Friday, September 2nd, so we have all the games, 8-game regular season until you get to the cross districts, and then it's all posted there at ncksports.com. You can also find it on all of our social media pages for Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 Through the Lake, so check those out as well. The full broadcast schedule is always subject to change. We do let everybody know that, but as far as our preliminary plan and what we're expecting to do so far, you can check it out at ncksports.com.
I just saw, I like have Twitter pulled up here in case there's a breaking news and some video popped up and there was an explosion. And it scared me. I jumped back about 2 feet myself.
Well, dude, I saw caught, you and Jason.
Yeah, I just
both
caught a like corner of my eye. Whoa, I'm like, what is going on?
On your face.
Oh, my God. How did that person get back up from that? So this person, looks like a lady, had a gas can in the back seat of her vehicle, opened up the window, and went and grabbed the gas can out, put it on the ground, and then looks like she's, oh, okay. She's like checking her cell. Looks like she's taking a picture or turning on a flashlight with her cell phone. I don't know what she's doing with her cell phone. Reaches in.
It looks like she's trying to torch the car. Is she really? Yeah. And she just, when she threw the match in there.
Hey, man, that shot back.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see here.
She just poured it in.
Yeah.
And then she's like lighting.
Oh,
something.
It looks like a big lighter now that I look at it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That person nearly.
I want to know why she's torching the car.
I do too. Yeah.
What did she do?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a busy parking lot. There's cars on each side. Oh, yeah, this is.
That's crazy video, man.
I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, we'll investigate. We'll investigate that a little further. Hey, coming up tomorrow, Josh Eilert. He has been promoted to be an assistant coach for West Virginia University under Bob Huggins. And Josh is going to be our guest tomorrow to talk about the promotion and his journey, which you talk about paying a lot of dues to get to where he's at. And now he can go out and recruit and everything. And so Josh Eilert, right in our backyard from Osborne originally, he will be with us tomorrow to talk about West Virginia basketball and his journey to being a basketball assistant coach at the D1 level. It's a pretty cool story. So we look forward to having Josh on tomorrow. Kansas pregame magazines are out there. John Betts and his staff do a wonderful job with that. It is out there at various sponsor locations. And I haven't grabbed one yet myself, a physical copy, but I did look at the online edition. And what got me going on this is I saw 810 Varsity put out their rankings, which I don't think they know as much going out west, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're in Kansas City, they know the bigger schools, perhaps. But the rankings, they had like a top 10 rankings for every classification, except when you got down to 1A and 8-man, and then others have rankings just top 5. And so it was interesting when I looked at class 2A, and I didn't see Silver Lake in the top 10. And I was like, I know they have a new coach. I know C.J. Hamilton's awesome and all, but they're gonna fall that far? And I'm like, well, I gotta see what Betts has for their rankings in the Kansas pregame magazine. So I pull him up, and he doesn't have Silver Lake in the others, I don't believe, either. Mm-hmm. And the 5, where he has them ranked in the box. And I'm like, okay, so apparently Silver Lake's really going to fall down. Well, they're going to fall down to 8-2. I mean, it's interesting, though, because it is a change. It's a changing of the guard, a different era for Silver Lake, although I don't think they're going to skip a beat too badly. They might take a step back, but they'll be right back there more than likely. But so anyway, I was looking at the rankings, and this is what Kansas pregame has. If you want to talk rankings, honestly, the rankings don't mean much. No offense to anybody. They don't mean much, but they're fun, and they do mean something to others. But we have a full-fledged high school football playoff system in the state of Kansas, so you're going to eventually have your chance to beat the best and be the best of whatever class you're in. But the rankings, you know, Southeast Saline is 2A this year. Last year, they made a great run in 3A. They are loaded with talent, and they're, of course, in Beloit's league, North Central Three Association, and they're ranked, I think, second, or I'd have to pull up the 8-10 varsity rankings, but they were towards the top, and I think they maybe had Rossville 1 and Southeast 2, and John Betts has Southeast Saline 1 and Rossville 2. Rossville did lose a lot of talent, but they've got a Horak. They got a couple Horrocks still. I mean, they're like Hanover with Brunus. They just keep popping them out. So Nemaha Central is ranked 3rd out of Seneca. They're always solid. Michael Glassick, Larry Glassick's son, is the head coach there. And congratulations, Larry Glassick and his wife. They just retired, so that was pretty cool. And then Kingman, Beloit's ranked 4th, which is probably Beloit should be in the top 5 based on what they've done the last 2 years. They do have a lot of talent. They do have quite a bit of talent coming back. I think the biggest concern for Beloit, in my opinion, is depth, because I don't know how many numbers they had at practice last night, but I don't know. I don't think they have as many out as they had maybe the last year or two. I may be wrong on that, because I don't know. Sometimes if you have a big freshman class, that can skew how how much depth you have. Oh, you go, oh, 48. Yeah, we have 22 freshmen.
Right.
So that can skew it a little bit. So I'll have to send a text to Coach Gober and ask how many kids he had at practice to see their numbers. And that's always going to be a problem for any schools, usually, for the most part, 2A and below, even sometimes for 3A schools, too. So, and by the way, Coach Gober is going to be a dad here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. His wife's due to have a baby anytime. And I understand that Brad made a deal and said, honey, you cannot have the baby, our first baby, on September 2nd. That's the high school football opener. You can have your baby any other, not on a Friday night football week, okay?
Monday through Thursday.
Saturday or Sunday, but not on a Friday. Right. That's what I told my wife when we had Elijah. I said, honey, you can have this baby anytime except on 8-man All-Star game day. Any of the 364 days are available. And guess what day? And then all hell broke loose. He barely survived. They revived him. And then I was like, I flushed him to Kansas City. And then Dusty's getting called at 3 in the morning. Hey, Dusty, I need you to do 8-man games. I got to go be with my child. Hopefully he survives and so forth and so on. So I think she's going to have the baby before September 2nd because I hear the due date was either in a couple days or was a couple days ago. So unless she's going to carry this baby just to really, really, really mess with her husband and put herself through tremendous agony and pain for an extra 3 weeks, it's just probably not worth it.
Going to overtime?
Yeah, right. Yeah, double or triple overtime. Yeah. I cannot speak for women out there because I never carried a child in my body. I never will. I feel confident in saying that. Men can't get pregnant, I think. So I'm just going to say, women, God bless you. You are the toughest people on earth, much tougher than us wimpy men. And if you want to have the baby a couple days before the due date or 2 weeks and it's safe, I would be like, if I knew I was pregnant, I'm like, 9 months? What? 9 months? How about we call it 9 days and call it good? So, yeah, I don't think Mrs. Gober is going to be like, yeah, I think I'm just going to, you know, no. If you're a woman, don't you want to have that baby as soon as you know it's healthy, if like and no complications, go ahead. Let's just roll and move on here instead of having me carry this baby for another extra week or 3 days or whatever. And especially if you have a pregnancy through the summer, that's got to be probably tough.
This summer couldn't have been fun at all.
No, not recently. No. Summer started out pretty good this year, and then the last part has been really, really hot. So anyway, Coach Gober is going to be – I'm guessing the kid will be born with a football helmet on its on its noggin. And no wonder she's going to be painful
right,
for long.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
She needs to get paid triple. So Southeast Saline's ranked 1 and 2A, according to John Betts, Kansas pregame. And then Rossville's 2. They're the how many times they won in a row now? Two or three times in a row?
I think it was their third.
I think it was third.
I
called the game. I should remember. Nemaw Central's 3rd. Beloit's 4th. I don't think anybody could really argue with those rankings for the most part. Kingman is 5th, and Kingman almost beat Beloit in the state semifinals. And Beloit hung on. Beloit controlled it for 3 quarters and hung on in the 4th. And then Silver Lake is not ranked. So that's very unusual not to see Silver Lake ranked. Class 1A, Colgan's ranked 1, according to Kansas pregame. St. Mary's is 2. So you got St. Mary's, Pittsburgh, Colgan, then St. Mary's. Then Smith Center is 3, which Smith Center is always ranked. Almost always. Olby is 4, and Olby will be very, very good again, by the way. And then Inman is 5. So those are all solid teams. 8-man Division 1, Little River's 1, Clifton Clyde, Coach Steinbrock's crew, 2, Chase County 3, Meade 4, Hill City 5. And 8-man Division 2, and here's another example of, I'm like, where is this team that's always in the rankings but isn't there this year? Hanover is not in the top 5 in the rankings. They are in the others listed on Kansas pregame. Silver Lake isn't ranked or even in the others. And those are two that you always say they're either 1-2 every year. Automatically, when you do your rankings, and Dusty does his, I'm sure he's like, you automatically just kind of like, Hanover 1-2. Silver Lake's in the top 5, easy. Yeah, probably top. Yeah, there we go. Rossville 2, and Rossville 1, Silver Lake 2, Silver Lake 1, Rossville 2, something like that. So Axtell's kind of replaced Hanover in this equation. Axtell has virtually everybody back. Did they have one senior at all?
They had one senior.
They didn't play a lot, I don't think.
He played, but he didn't start.
Right. So they have everybody back. They had no 8-man All-Stars, which was weird. Where's the Axtell representation? They won the state title. Yeah, they aren't seniors. Are you serious? Thunder Ridge has got a ton back. But Axtell's got everybody back. Canton Galva's ranked 2. Thunder Ridge is 3. Victoria 4. Dighton is 5. Hanover is not ranked in the top 5. Neither is Silver Lake. That I wonder when the last time, if you followed the preseason rankings, or really rankings at all, when was the last time Silver Lake and Hanover are both at the same time not ranked? Like, I remember there was a spell where Hanover had a year, I think it was towards, they had a year, a couple of years, I think, where they were not ranked at some point. I know that. Mm-hmm. But Silver Lake, I mean, they're like automatically ranked and they're not. So kind of interesting. And it's not, you know, for people that are fans of Silver Lake and Hanover, they don't like it. Whoa, oh my God, we're going to be horrible. Yeah, you're going to be horrible. You'll be like 10-2 and make the state semis or something crazy like that. Oh, what a horrible year. But it is interesting not to see them. But if you're not a Hanover or a Silver Lake fan, you find it refreshing. Because there's different teams that are like Kingman's now in there. You don't ever see Kingman in there. And, you know, Inman here in the last few years. And, you know, there's a St. Mary's popping up in 1A. And there's some regulars that are there, of course. But Southeast isn't always ranked, and they've got a pretty good team. So it is kind of nice to see the change in the guard, at least for a period of time. Kind of like Major League Baseball. Thank God it ain't the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox. All right. Cubs win the World Series. All right. The Royals are in the World Series and things like that. Of course, fans of the... You know, the bandwagon fans like Clover that jumped on the Yankee bandwagon back in the day when they had already won 18 titles, whatever it was. I'm joking, kind of. But people, it's always a compliment to those programs. You know, if you're making a big deal at Silver Lake isn't ranked like I am today, or Hanover isn't ranked, that is the utmost respect, because they're almost automatically penciled in and you don't even think about it. And you wouldn't be wrong by automatically penciling in. You don't have to even do research almost all the time. It's like, ah, put them in there.
Yeah, that's... typically what it's like, definitely for Silver Lake, from that aspect. In their down years, they seem to not lose any more than three games, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like they're Silver Lake's having a down year.
Sometimes two of their
year.
Three losses for Silver Lake will be a Rossville.
Rossville, yeah.
Like that,
yeah. And you know, it's that's always been the big rivalry, and Rossville got to that level and was able to start kind of, because it took a long time for Rossville to finally get over that hump,
yeah,
and beat Silver Lake,
yes,
in the playoffs.
Did.
And so once they did that, now it's, you know, it's Rossville and Silver Lake. Those are the two teams out east. It's like, it seems like every year it's like, well, we can count on one of the semifinalists being either Rossville or Silver,
yep,
Lake, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or, and maybe even both if they get put in the right place on the bracket to where they don't have to meet each other until the semifinals.
Yeah.
And then you can expect either Rossville or Silver Lake into the state championship almost every year.
I think the exception Nemaw Central 1 year,
yeah,
not too long ago.
Yeah, and they beat Silver Lake.
Right.
And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happens, you know, and back when they were both in 3A, it happened. You know, there was a 1 year where it was Marysville and Wichita Collegiate,
right,
in the state championship game, and everybody was kind of like what you're talking about, right? It was kind of refreshing to, mm-hmm, see something
it
different
was
there in that game. And so you kind of take it for granted probably if you're at those places,
sure,
but also it is surprising when you see a full list of teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's 10 teams or,
right,
others in the Kansas pregame, and Silver Lake's not a part of it.
Yeah, it was weird when I,
yeah,
saw it. I was like, when I saw 8-10 varsity, because that was all the way to 10.
Yeah.
I'm like, did the program go defunct because C.J. Hamilton retired and he just blew up the program? I'm like, what happened? And I was like, okay, I wasn't aware of who Silver Lake has back or doesn't have, mm-hmm, back. And then I checked out Kansas pregame, and they have some holes to fill, certainly, and so do a lot of teams. But there are some teams that are really loaded coming back. And then a new coach. And it is interesting because, and I think this is probably a fair comparison. I know they're in different parts of the state. But, you know, like Smith Center, you know, Roger Barta, when he retired and stepped away, it was like, oh, my gosh, who wants that job? Because you're following a legend,
mm-hmm,
a Hall of Famer. But it wasn't too long before Smith Center's winning state title again with a different head coach. And Silver Lake, you know, C.J. Hamilton, we talked about how Silver Lake, their dominance, and he is an amazing coach, and multiple titles and tons of state title appearances and state semifinal appearances. And they owned Rossville for a long time. But I think over the last, and I have to go back and look at my notes, but over the last probably 10 years when they've met, Rossville has a huge advantage, mm-hmm, in the meetings they've had and some big games in the playoffs. And, you know, I think people just automatically go, even if they had quite a bit of talent back, well, Silver Lake's going to take a step back slightly because, you know, they lost a Hall of Fame coach. You could actually come back and say maybe they needed a new younger voice. Maybe they need a change to suddenly change and tilt the teeter-totter the other way to where now Rossville's the one always chasing them. Because right now Silver Lake is chasing Rossville. And it was the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, that's not a knock on CJ Hamilton. It's not a knock on Roger Bardet at all. But it is interesting, you know, because you immediately think, oh, my God, we've had this guy be our head coach for all these years, all this success. What are we going to do? Smith Center's worked out fairly well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Silver Lake will be just fine. I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff. You know, Larry Glasic was head coach at Centralia, and he's retiring. Centralia's probably going to still be pretty solid, you know.
A lot of times when you have a long-time coach, you have a long-time assistant right there behind, and then they get the job. And
that's not the case at Silver Lake.
No, not everywhere. But
a lot of center it was.
A lot of places you do it that way, and they know exactly how things have been done for 15, 20, 25 years, whatever, and it works. Yeah. So they keep doing it, and they keep having success. Yeah,
that's the thing at Smith Center is like, Darren was the junior high coach for so long there that he was running the same system.
Exactly. Right?
But what Darren's done at Smith Center is he's kept the base of the system, but he's added more
evolved
to it, right? They're doing some flex bone out of the pistol, you know?
Yeah.
Like we asked him one time, are you going to line up in the pistol to start the season? He thought we thought we were joking, and he's like, well, actually, we did do some of that stuff in practices.
And Dusty fell off his chair and hit his head.
And it's like, now we're running the wishbone out of the pistol. We're not running a straight spread offense. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's always interesting too, if you can get somebody to come in that's maybe younger or knows the system but wants to develop a little bit more and advance some of the nuances and intricacies of the system and maybe add some new wrinkles to it. And Smith Center obviously has been able to kind of adapt to some of the new things that are going on, but they have kept true to who they really are and running the football and being a physical football team. And I think if you can keep that identity at Silver Lake with a fresh mind, maybe they're going to be way better than what people might think.
Yeah, they might surprise people and do better than you think, or maybe this is the year they have
a down year.
They have a transition year, and the next year they really take off. It will be interesting. And the other thing, too, is when these coaches have coached a long time, when do they step away? And many times they step away when they see a few years that are going to be not quite as good. You know what? I think that's the time to scale. Like, why would you want to walk away from a team that you think is going to win a state title?
Right.
You're probably going to suck it up and coach next year. Yeah. If you've been coaching for 20, 30, 40 years, you know what? I think I'll just stick this out another year.
But then
after the senior class graduates, boy, we're going to really fall off. I think I'll just conveniently exit stage right. And I don't know if that's what CJ Hamilton did. I don't know if that's what Roger Bardet did. But I do know coaches that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't lie about it. They'll actually tell you when you're sitting there having a beer. And we've had a few over the years with some of these coaches that have stepped away. They've told us. They're like,
very rarely.
I mean, they kind of basically say, there are going to be a few lean years coming up. It's best that a younger guy, whips him in the shape and, acting like that's the better person to coach. Like, you just didn't want to go through the 4-5 season or the 2-7 season.
No,
that you're not,
season.
And some coaches are that way. And then others will plow through it. And then, within 2 or 3 years, they're right back to where they always are.
So. Very rarely lines up with 65 and Social Security and that kind of stuff.
Yes, it rarely does. It depends on the talent you have coming back, regardless of your age. You're absolutely right. So we'll probably have John on at some point here before the high school football season begins. Kansas pregame, I know he's listening, and so we'll line that up at some point, and we'll talk about some of those things. So there you go. I gave John some homework if he's listening. I know he's listening. And he's like, all right, now let me check out Silver Lake. Do I need to reconfigure my win total, the over-under on Silver Lake, and then what about Hanover, and how many Brunas are on the team this year? Or is it over or under 15? Because there's always a lot of Brunas. But it will be very interesting to watch what Silver Lake does. But Southeast is really, really, I think they're going to be outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
They really are good. Rossville, I think, is the time to catch them would be earlier in the year. I think by the end of the year, they're going to be really good. And I was looking, too, at like 2A, 8-10 had ranked it all the way out to 10 teams. Norton was like 9, and Hoisington was ranked. And, of course, TMP was in the top 10, and they're not in the top 5 with Kansas pregame. TMP, I believe Harris is, I think he's back for a senior year. I think he's a senior this year. But anyway, TMP made a decent run. Hoisington, of course, got knocked out by TMP. And then Kingman beat TMP, and then Belate beat Kingman, and so forth and so on. But it will be interesting to see because Beloit is in with TMP this year, and they're with Norton in their district. And then, of course, Southeast is ranked number one. Of course, Kansas pregame, that's on Beloit's schedule. And then, you know, Hoisington is not on their schedule this year, but that's a team they played the last three times the last 2 years. And we talk about how Hoisington, I kept trying to tell people last year, they're going to be pretty good by the end of the year. And they were. They actually went in the Beloit and won by 1 point. And Hoisington, they did lose Legend Robinson, but they do have, they definitely have talent coming back. And I think they're a program now that they just reload instead of rebuild like it maybe once upon a time in Hoisington. So, and then Axtell is the overwhelming favorite in 8-man too, aren't they?
They, I'd say overwhelming, but Ken Galvis
really good.
Moved down to 8-man division
too.
Yeah,
that's true.
And they
that's
got
true.
The kid, the kid from Wheatland, his dad transferred. They transferred down there.
His dad transferred.
His dad transferred because he got a job.
So he did
Wheatland.
Transfer. Yeah.
But so the kid transfers with him, obviously,
sure.
And transfers schools actually, and so Shelby Hoff's got a great program down there. Mm-hmm. Them moving down to D2 now is going to definitely put a challenge to Axtell. Before they
and Thunder Ridge is sitting, Thunder Ridge is sitting here going, in some many years they might be the preseason number one based on what they got back.
The Thunder Ridge is lucky that they moved back west now. They have gone back onto the west side of the bracket.
That's true.
Where Kensington and Ager belong.
Yes.
So they're lucky that they don't have to maybe deal with as much of that in the postseason to get maybe to the state championship compared to what Axtell and Canton Galver they're going to have to meet at some point probably.
Sure.
Unless there's a major upset.
You know, sports betting is going to become legal here in the state of Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I expect overs and unders from bets when I have them on for every single team. So we got Silver Lake at 5.5, 6.5. Where we got Silver Lake? 7.38? Whatever we got to come up with. Oh, yeah, we're probably not going to be allowed to bet on the high school stuff. It's probably a great idea. Probably a great idea to stay away from that. And the new head coach of Silver Lake is a guy that played for C.J. Hamilton and is a kid that, or I say kid, but now he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Pegram, if I remember correctly the name. He played at Silver Lake under C.J. Hamilton. So there's the connection there to the school. He understands the program and what it's all about, and that's very important. And then, I think of Hoisington, and John put this in a text too, offensive line is going to be incredible. They're big. They're big on the line, and the Hoffman kid was starting as a freshman on a team that made it to the state finals. So it'll be interesting, no doubt. And our 8-man teams around the area, Osborne always is, you talk about Osborne. I think it's the first 8-man team you think about because of what Osborne's done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got other teams that, Thunder Ridge clearly is probably on paper right now is the best team in our area 8-man-wise that we cover. And I don't know what Sylvan Lucas has. I don't know what Lincoln has yet. And then St. John's Tipton and Rock Hills, I know, really took it on the chin last year. Lakeside loses a lot of talent from last year's team. So we'll talk about those 8-man schools in our area as we get closer. Of course, Friday, September 2nd is the first games on the radio. We'll have two games on the radio. Another one will be video stream. So we'll have coverage of three games. And then also we'll have the Football Express previewing all the matchups. Brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable. We'll have our local high school football scoreboard show after the games as well. Brought to you by State Farm Insurance, Marty Walters and Kevin Hewitt, our agents. Thanks for those sponsors for re-upping again for another year. So plenty of time to talk high school sports, but I just thought it was interesting when I looked at the rankings and I didn't see Silver Lake and Hanover, like, am I getting that old? I can't read and I can't see straight, but there was something to it. I'm a little bit confused, but I don't know the situation that well, so I probably am not qualified to talk about it. And that's interesting to say that probably by me, because most screaming talking heads on sports talk will never say they're not qualified to talk about anything. They'll talk about they're qualified to talk about the price of milk at a store. They'll never admit that they're not qualified to talk about anything. The Texas Rangers fired their manager, Chris Woodward. The Rangers are 51-63, third place in the AL West. President John Daniels said, and I quote, "We did not come into the season thinking we had put together a championship roster. We thought we'd taken a major step forward in talent from where we were a year ago. We've certainly had aspirations maybe to overachieve some and still do have those, but we were and continue to be realistic about where we are. That said, we did think we'd be better than our record and better than the way that we played at times." Woodward will be replaced by third base coach Tony Beasley, and he'll be the interim manager the rest of the year. Woodward was in his fourth season with the Rangers. He was 211 wins, 287 losses in that time. Now, I don't know if there is a problem in regards to a vision for the team between the manager and the president and the owner and the GM. But I'm going to tell you something. I've seen the Rangers play in person last year. I've actually seen them play a couple times this year on TV. The Rangers have some young talent. They're nowhere close to being a they're nowhere close to being anyone that's going to challenge the Astros for the division title. So I'm a little bit perplexed. I'm like, you're firing a manager who's got a lot of young guys. You didn't give them. I mean, the Rangers did spend some money. Corey Seager was one they brought in. And Texas always has money, no matter what it is. Even high schools in Texas have lots of money for the most part. But I'm kind of like, this is the move you make. I mean, you guys, I mean, the president says, and I quote, "We did not come into the season thinking we'd put together a championship roster. We had aspirations to overachieve some. We continue to be realistic about where we are." But are you being realistic when you fire your manager in 51-63 and move on after in his fourth season? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that question I'm throwing out there.
I'm definitely not qualified to answer that.
But I do think it's interesting because usually when a guy gets fired, it's, we expected to be really good. We were supposed to contend for the playoffs. We're supposed to contend for a title. You know, like Frank Vogel getting fired. Hello, that one, everybody saw that one coming with the Lakers. In this case, there's no reason you had hope. You're also in a division with the Houston Astros, who are really, really good. So I'm a little bit perplexed by the move.
Yeah, I mean, I when I read the quote and I was like, everything he's saying right here
means that you should keep the guy
based on like some kind of weird hope that they would overachieve, and he says it right in there, right? Yeah. Like, we were hoping we would overachieve. We didn't build the championship roster.
Yes.
We were hoping we'd overachieve, but we're realistic about where we're at. And it's like...
So that means Chris Woodward's
the manager's
getting
fault?
So he gets an extension, right?
Yeah. Most of those things are like...
Or dreaded vote of confidence.
We'll ride it out at least till the end of the year, right? Not say, hey, you're gone...
Yeah.
In the middle of August with only a month and a half of the season left anyway. Like, nobody's coming in here. Like, you got to wait till the end of the year to find a manager anyway.
Right.
So for me, it's just the timing is probably the most interesting and maybe weird part of it is, like, you said all those things.
Yeah.
If you're realistic about where you are, just let them finish the season. Like, or are you going to – I mean, unless this third base coach that they've hired is their idea of who's going to be their next manager.
Well, but, if that's the case, just go ahead and make him the manager instead of an interim situation.
Yeah.
I think there's more to it probably under the surface that we don't know. There almost
has to be. Toxic relationship with one of the young stars that they got coming up. I don't know, but...
Our conflict of expectations. Yeah. You know, Woodward saying, hey, we're still a year away, and they're like, no, we expect to win now. Interesting stuff. All right, Times Square Cubs update with Jason.
Yeah, brought to you by The Perfect Strangers, Balky and Larry.
Oh, great, great show.
Probably a show you can't make today.
No,
but Bronson Pinchot, the star of that one. But
what was the other guy's name?
The character was Larry, but his name is Mark Lynn Baker.
That's it.
Yeah. So
his wife is an actress, I think, or was.
Could very well be.
She was on, I think, some shows on Nickelodeon, Disney, or whatever it was. I think.
Yeah. But, I think it's part of that TGIF lineup there.
Yes, I remember.
For ABC.
Yeah.
But
Was Urkel part of that?
Yep.
That was classic.
Award-winning television. Also a Chicago-based
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nationals 5, Cubs 4.
Ah, the Royals.
Cubs losing to the Nationals?
Worst
team in baseball.
47-67.
So the Royals and Cubs both lose to stay right almost dead even for the race to get the fifth overall draft pick or whatever it is that they'll both mess up probably. All right, let's talk some football, shall we? Lots of people are excited about football. We talked high school football there for a while. It'll also be interesting when the volleyball rankings come out because there's certainly some talent in our area when it comes to volleyball too. By the way, we'll get schedules posted. We've redesigned ncksports.com. We're working on getting the schedules and figuring out how to put all that together, working out a few kinks, as with anything that's new or newly designed. So we'll get that worked up, and we'll let you know when that's all updated. You can look at previous seasons and schedules and results for various sports at ncksports.com, and our football broadcast schedule is the most recent story that we have there as well. The top 25 AP college football poll has been released, and here are the rankings. Stunning development. Alabama is number one. 54 of the 63 first place votes. Ohio State, number two. And both those teams have their quarterbacks coming back from teams that were very good last year. Georgia's number three, defending national champs, are third. Clemson, four. Notre Dame, five. A&M, six. Utah, seven. Michigan, eight. Oklahoma, Brent Venables, the head coach, is nine. Baylor, 10. So the Big 12 has two in the top 10. And then Oregon, 11. Oklahoma State at 12, so three of the top 12 are Big 12 schools. North Carolina State at 13, USC at 14, Michigan State at 15, Miami, Florida at 16, Pittsburgh comes in at 17, Wisconsin 18, Arkansas 19, Kentucky 20, Ole Miss 21, Wake Forest 22, Cincinnati 23, Houston 24, BYU 25, which is interesting because those last three are going to be part of the Big 12. So those are all ranked soon to be Big 12 members. Others receiving votes include Texas. They were 164 votes, so they were 27th. Tennessee was the last one just out of the top 25. K-State did get some respect with 14 votes. And then there is somebody that really needs to check out if they hit the wrong box when they voted. But Nebraska, the Bug Eaters, the Cornhuskers, coming off a resilient, unbelievable, had things fallen just right, and their special teams didn't hit the field, would have been close to 9-3, but were 3-9. And the seventh best program on the campus at Nebraska in Lincoln. I have fun with that. Nebraska got one vote, believe
it's Brett McMurphy, of all people, too.
He's just trolling Nebraska.
It's a love-hate relationship so he actually sometimes does praise the team, but I don't know if he always has a lot of things to say about the organization as a whole.
Sure.
And so he was also the one who broke the story about Nebraska trying to get out of the Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
And so that, you know. So I don't know if he's trying to make up for that or what, or maybe, like you said, maybe just a troll. You know, since it's one, you know, he put it at 25.
He's doing that for sure.
Yeah.
He's totally trolling him.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's nice to know that, you know, with all the transfers and all, you know, the changes that Scott Frost was supposed to make, that, you know, you got the AP voters and the coaches, people that probably should know a little bit about what's going on. One person maybe thinks that they are a top 25 team.
In Nebraska, they're one of their best young receivers. He got hurt significantly. Yeah. I don't know what his situation is going to be for Nebraska. That's a big blow.
They're pretty tight-lipped with the range of time with it. But, DeColdis. His name
Crawford. DeColdis Crawford. And did you see his commercial?
Yes.
I saw it.
Yes.
For heating and AC.
An old coworker of mine at the TV station we used to work with.
Take it from me, DeColdis.
Yeah, he moved on, became a regular citizen, and is one of the sales and marketing on that HVAC.
Yeah,
place.
He's from Louisiana, but he's playing out in Nebraska. DeColdis
Crawford. Yep.
Yeah, that's how you take advantage of NIL right there.
Yeah.
Did you see the Miles Brennan, the quarterback for the LSU Tigers? He didn't win the starting job, so now he's retiring from football. He's stopping. He's not going to play football anymore. He got like a whole bunch of, because he was, I think he was a starter at the last year to begin the season for LSU, and NIL kicked in, remember, last summer? And Miles Brennan got a whole bunch of NIL sponsorships and money and then didn't play that well, then got hurt, and now he's not going to play at all this year. And he didn't have to give any of that back.
Right.
So he's like, dude, you know what? I'll play a few games, and then I don't become the starter. I'll take my money, and I'll go home. That's America.
It is, for sure.
That's the way to take advantage of NIL, I guess. Interesting. Okay.
And I guess if he doesn't play a game, he could technically be eligible for another year, I guess, if he wanted to.
Yeah,
he
could always come back.
If he changed his mind.
He could, no doubt. So, of those teams I mentioned, who is overrated? Alabama at 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Clemson 4, Notre Dame 5, A&M 6, Utah 7, Michigan 8, Oklahoma 9, Baylor 10, Oregon 11, Oklahoma State, North Carolina State, USC, Michigan State, Miami, Florida, Pittsburgh, Wisconsin, Arkansas, Kentucky. That's the top 20.
One of them that really stood out to me was Pitt. Without Kenny Pickett, are they did they have somebody else coming into that position, or did they just have? I don't know enough about Pitt. Probably, like kind of what you were saying, to speak a lot about it, but that kind of was interesting to me, that Pitt's in the top 20 without Kenny Pickett.
There's a writer that did a story together, and his first highest overrated team was Pittsburgh. He agrees with you. I think Clemson's overrated.
I would agree with that for sure.
That's off their name, because their defense should be better, but they're offensively challenged, and they're going to have the same quarterback, it appears, and he really struggled last year. I don't think Clemson should be in the top 10. That's just my opinion. So I think Clemson is overrated, and Notre Dame always seems to be overrated, but maybe they aren't this year. So here's the second question. Who's a team under the radar that you think at the end of the year is going to be, say, in the top 15 or 20 or even in the top 10? And for me, I know I'm going to be a bit of a homer here, but I'm not going to say maybe top 10, but I think K-State at the end of the year could be a top 20 team. I just like what they've got. And Adrian Martinez, of course, obviously is a huge part of this. But the weapons they have on offense, I think this K-State team is going to be pretty salty. I'm not sold that Baylor's going to be lights out. I know they won the Big 12 last year. I think they might come back to earth a little bit. Oregon has a new coach, Oklahoma with Venables. So that'll be interesting, too. Oklahoma State tends to kind of not be as good when they're expected to be really good. And when they're not expected to be so good, they're usually better than they're supposed to be. So I guess I'm a little bit of a homer, but I think K-State is a top 25 team, but I could be wrong. I think at the end of the year they will be.
No, I don't disagree with that. I think the biggest thing with K-State is they absolutely have to stay healthy. They're not like these other teams, right, that have that second layer and second level. And at every position, they're fine if they have to have a guy come in and pick that up. They're just not deep. They had six first-team All-Big 12 selections, so obviously – in their starting positions, they have some really, really good players. And I like, obviously, what Anydika Uzomah brings on defense. And again, you like Adrian Martinez. Hopefully he can, you know, continue to grow and develop from what I thought was a fairly good season at Nebraska last year, just based on watching him play and not just looking at their scores. Deuce Vaughn, obviously, on the team is a guy that you love to have back there. And again, every single one of those guys that I mentioned by name have to stay healthy.
Yes.
Because if they don't, we've gone through the Will Howard experiment enough. I think we kind of know who and what he might be right now. And so, especially at quarterback, and I mean, there's a reason they courted Adrian Martinez.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, is it Will Howard, or do you give Jake Rubley that spot if Martinez gets hurt by now? Maybe Rubley is in that position to do that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's a team that cannot deal with injuries or another year where they have 30 guys out for a game because of COVID or something like that. You know, things like that that have derailed some of Chris Klein's teams. I think they have potential to be a top three team in the Big 12 if they're healthy the whole year.
I agree. Of course, I got a text. Texas overrated. Well, believe it or not, they're not ranked in the top 25 to start the year. I was stunned by that.
Yeah. I think they were like 18 in the coaches poll or something like that.
Jeez.
Yeah. Somebody gave them a first place.
I don't care if Texas is 27th out of 25 here. They're overrated.
Yeah.
All right. And if Nebraska gets a vote, why didn't KU football get a vote? At least they beat a team worthwhile in Texas. Oh, wait a minute. Texas stunk. They were 5-7. So maybe they weren't. That wasn't that worthwhile.
And I guess, like, for me, like, you look at those three Big 12 teams. For them to end up ranked like this, like, if you think they're going to end up here, you almost are assuming that they're all going to go 1-1 against each other. You know,
Baylor, Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I kind of have a feeling that, And if I had to guess, it'd be Baylor. Baylor's going to go 0-2 against those two teams, and one of them's going to win both of those. And I would guess Oklahoma, but I just have a feeling it's not going to work out that way. And I'm saying K-State beats one of those three.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I worry a little bit about
losing. K-State's got to go to Stillwater. They never do well in Stillwater, and they got to go to Oklahoma this year. K-State does.
Yeah.
Baylor must be at home, I would think. Are they on the road to that one? Are they
Baylor's
all on the road?
At home, I believe.
Okay, I was going to say, that'd be really tough. Yeah. All three of those are on the road for K-State. And that would be a little bit of an X factor, too. I think K-State's going to have a good year, if that's my point. I think you agree with me. Is there a team that's underrated? I said K-State. Is there anybody else you think of that's underrated that should be moving up there? Yeah, Houston is a team, I think, that's maybe not getting enough respect.
Yeah, and a lot of that will have to do with where they're at, right?
Sure.
What conference they're in, and that might help them moving forward when they do join the Big 12. I don't know if there was anybody that really stood out to me other than I think K-State should I could put on the purple glasses and say they should be in the top 25 to start the season.
Right.
But I don't really have anybody else that I feel like is under the radar at this point. I just don't know enough about some of these teams. I would say, you know, Georgia winning the national championship and being, what were they, three. You know, I don't know what they've got back. I don't know if they can contend for the national championship again. But you always got to watch. You always have to watch Georgia, and you know, but Alabama's always going to have that spot.
I don't think the Big 12 is going to have anybody right there for the playoff at the end of the year. I think they're going to beat each other up. Yeah. I don't think there's a dominant team. The other thing about this is posted yesterday, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it was worded, but there have been, I don't know, like so many years in a row that a team in the preseason that was ranked in the top 10. Finished the year unranked.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go through this.
Okay.
Alabama's one. I think we think they're going to be ranked at the end of the year, right? Ohio State, I think we think they're going to be ranked somehow at the end of the year. Georgia, yes. Clemson, I would think so because they're Clemson. They'll, even if they're having a rough year, they'll somehow be like 22. That's my opinion. I may be wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. Notre Dame's 5. A&M 6. Utah 7. Michigan 8. Oklahoma 9. Baylor 10. Out of those top 10 teams, which one do you think is most likely to be the team this year that is overhyped, overrated, falls on its face, and isn't ranked at the end of the year and probably ends up being like a 7-5, 6-6, 8-4 team that goes to a average bowl? I think we can eliminate Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia, but maybe Clemson, Notre Dame, A&M, Utah, Michigan, Oklahoma, and Baylor. Which one of those seven teams do you think is most likely to not be ranked at the end of the year? Now, we might break the streak here, and they all ranked and so forth.
I'm going to say Baylor.
Say Baylor?
Yeah.
There's one that I think would be really, really funny.
A&M.
And I think it could be A&M.
I think so.
Because I think there's so much talk about them right now.
Yeah.
And all the money they're handing out, right, that people say.
Yeah.
Jimbo says we're playing by the rules.
Sure.
I think A&M could be that team that just – there's just too much distraction, and they're supposed to be better, and then they just fall on their face and finish like 7-5 or something.
I say not Clemson because of their brand, and that they'll, even if they're having a bad year, they'll sneak in and be ranked at the end of the year. Notre Dame will, unless they just fall apart, they're going to be ranked at the end of the year. A&M, I agree with you. That's one I looked at. Utah, the Pac-12 isn't all that. I think Utah will still be ranked at the end of the year. Oklahoma, I think, will still be ranked at the end of the year. Baylor, I do think Baylor will still be ranked at the end of the year, but I see where Jason's coming from. I'll tell you the two I'm looking at is A&M and Michigan.
Michigan,
all in on Michigan again after they finally broke through and beat Ohio State last year and finally did something. And if I had to pick a team, I think A&M's the obvious one that some people are going to jump on because of the whole thing with Fisher and as you mentioned. But I'm going to sit here, and I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be distracted by all of the players on his team having unwanted pregnancies, and he's going to have to take care and babysit all those kids he said he's going to adopt. And I think that's going to be a distraction for this team, and I think this team is going to not fit. Okay, I'm joking here, but that's what Jim Harbaugh said. Him and his wife would, you know, do that. I think Michigan is – I don't even think I need to look at their roster. I just think they finally broke through, and maybe that will be the way that they'll be great for 10 years, and they will take over the Big Ten, and Ohio State will become the also-ran or the ridesmaid. Right. But I don't know, man. For some reason, Michigan's sticking out to me going, you know, they have an injury or two. I can see Michigan, and next thing you know, well, Harbaugh, remember, we got to get rid of Harbaugh. He isn't that great. They give him an extension. Oh, now Harbaugh breaks through. Well, my gosh, Harbaugh's the greatest thing since sliced bread. They had the great year. They finally broke through. And then at the end of this year, we'll be looking back going, was that a fluke what they did last year? And is Harbaugh really that good? And he's on the hot seat going into 2023. That's what my crystal ball tells me right now. So I'm gonna be a little different. I'm gonna say Michigan is a team, and also you're in the Big Ten. It's loaded, and so to me, A&M and Michigan would make the most sense to pick because Clemson's in the ACC. It's not as strong. A&M and Michigan to me are the most two likely candidates because of one, the conference they play in.
Yeah, you could actually to be a little, you know, to not even say you're going to fall off a cliff, you could actually be a good team.
Yeah.
And Nebraska a couple of those games with a special teams meltdown or something and end up 7-5.
Listen, Michigan was very close to losing three games. Mm-hmm. They somehow found a way to win, and Nebraska was one of those games.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can be a good team and still find your way at 7-5.
Yes, sir.
And you know, just by a couple mistakes here and there. So, yeah, I understand. I totally understand. I just had a hard time saying they'd fall all the way out. But, you know, you're right. It does happen all the time, and there's a big streak you're going along with. So somebody's going to do it probably, and I think those three are our best choices. But
I was trying to pull up the Wolverine schedule here just for fun, and we'll just do that. They got Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn, Maryland, at Iowa. That could easily be a loss.
Mm-hmm.
At Indiana, Penn State at home could easily be a loss. I think Penn State, they're not ranked, and I think they're overlooked. Michigan State, rivalry game, you never know. At Rutgers, they should be all right, of course. Yeah. Nebraska, yeah, they should be all right there because it's at home on top of that. Illinois, at Ohio State. Maybe I should change my mind here because their schedule isn't quite as hard as it could be when I look at it, but I'll stick with it.
Yeah.
In Michigan, Dusty saying A&M.
Yeah.
I think Dusty has the best chance to win.
To be clear, I think they're all going to end up in the top 25. But yeah,
but they say there's always one in the top 10.
Exercise, I picked who I thought maybe.
That's the thing. Maybe they all.
But Texas A&M, I would say, has obviously the toughest schedule out of all those people, just because of the league that they play in. You know, they got to play the LSUs, the Alabamas, Auburn, Florida, Mississippi. You know, some teams that were pretty good. Arkansas. I don't know what they're going to be this year, but I mean, their schedule is.
Maybe
conducive to them maybe finishing 7-5 if they don't play right.
Maybe it'll be Georgia. Maybe it'll be Georgia.
Yeah.
Winning a championship, the hangover, finally got through, won it all, and then have an injury at quarterback or something, and you play in a tough conference, tough division, and next thing you know, you're 8-4, 7-5. The thing is with them, even if you're 8-4, you're probably still ranked.
Absolutely.
Well, you lost to the greatest Georgia's conference teams in the world.
And that's another thing that you have to think about when you're doing this exercise, right, is teams like Notre Dame, even if they finish 8-4,
they're going to be
in the top 25.
That's why I said about Clemson.
Clemson, exactly. And, and Alabama is an obvious, you know, no matter how bad their season is,
because
their bad season is going to be maybe 9-3.
All right. Who's your national champion pick? I'm going to say Alabama.
I'm going to pick Alabama. It seems like the easy way out, but also the common sense way out, right?
I don't think Georgia's doing the back-to-back years. I don't think Notre Dame is at that level and haven't been for a while. Clemson's not there offensively. A&M can't buy in. I don't think anybody in the Big 12 is going to win the whole thing. To me, it's Alabama or Ohio State.
Yeah, and I don't want to pick Ohio State.
I don't want to pick Alabama
either.
Yeah, I don't want to just sound like the same, but if you're really asking me who I think is going to win, I mean, that's probably the best bet.
They both got their quarterback back, and they're both Young won the Heisman, and Stroud was a Heisman finalist, so it would make sense. We turn to the Kansas City Chiefs. Update on training camp. Tight end Blake Bell injured his hip during the preseason opener on Saturday in Chicago. Didn't practice yesterday. Head coach Andy Reid also reported following practice that kicker Harrison Butker has a sore ankle. Lucas Niang remains on the PUP list. Did not participate. The Chiefs did waive four players yesterday. Then the most notable was cornerback Lonnie Johnson, they traded for from the Texans. So that means they feel pretty good about these young corners they drafted. Veteran defensive tackle Danny Shelton took the field for his first practice with the Chiefs. His signing became official yesterday. He worked in some drills and looked pretty good. He was a 12th overall selection in the 2015 NFL draft. Most recently played for the Giants. Last year, played in 13 games at 31 tackles, a tackle for loss, a half a sack. He's not a guy that's going to sack the quarterback. He's a run stuffer. 6'2", 345 pounds. He's played with the Browns, played for the Patriots, played for the Lions. He's only 28 years old, and it'd give Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator of the Chiefs, an extra guy to rotate into the defensive line mix, especially on running downs. And so we'll see how that is. Sky Moore continues to have a really good training camp, the rookie. Out of Western Michigan, second-round draft pick. Another solid day for him yesterday. And we mentioned Butker left with a sore ankle, so guess who took over the kicking duties?
Justin Reed.
Safety Justin Reed, who hit a successful extra point against the Bears. He had the opportunity to kick several field goals. His holder was Juan Thornhill, another safety, because Tommy Townsend was gone due to personal reasons. And they did pretty good. And they actually kicked, not off a tee, but at training camp with Justin Reed's buddy, live rushing. Mm-hmm. And he hit 7 out of 9 field goals, including a 40-yarder.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the 65-yarder he hit off the holder thing in practice, I'm like, that was an actual kick. Like,
yeah, was.
He wasn't, like, laboring and just
just extra
trying to drill the ball.
Easy,
I mean, he drilled it. Like, it was not even an issue at all on the extra point that he hit. Part of that was probably the adrenaline of actually having a chance to do it in a game. And once you actually put pressure on yourself, it might be a little different. But because I don't think he felt any pressure there. It was just a fun thing to go out and do.
Right.
But yeah, it's legit. Like, he is actually can be kick. A kicker.
He can kick the ball. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Let's see. The Chiefs will play Saturday, 2 o'clock pregame, 3 o'clock kickoff at Arrowhead against the Washington Commanders. And they'll have another home game next Thursday, the 25th. And then the season will start in September. I don't have the Chiefs schedule here.
It should be like the 12th, yeah. I believe.
Are they on a... I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me, but
yeah,
we need to put a... I usually have a copy of the Chiefs schedule over here posted next to me, so I'll have to make sure I get that done then. I'll double-check that here. I did know what it was and pull it up here. Come on now. September 15th against the Chargers. I was going to say, it's on an odd day. It's Thursday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's the Amazon Prime Video.
Well, no, that's their second game, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's no. I mean, I'm just going to – I don't have their – hold on. I'm going to say it should be their second game.
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid.
The
I went
opens
to
on
StubHub,
the
and they don't even show the whole schedule, yeah. But I can't get to the Chiefs.com website. Oh, there it is. Arizona on the road on September 11th, 9/11.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. Then they turn
yeah.
around short, very short week, play Thursday night against the Chargers. That's a tough start to the season right there. And the Colts aren't bad either. That's week three, but they'll have a little extra time between week two and week three. So their home opener is on September 15th on a Thursday, September 11th. So you're going to have a full 2 weeks between the last preseason yeah. game, August 25th, and then actually over 2 weeks, which is kind of interesting. But a little bit different since they go to 3 preseason games as they started. I believe that was last year instead of 4. So Patrick Mahomes was apparently on Peter King's Football Morning in America. And here's Mahomes talked about, you know, when you're a quarterback and you're as good as Mahomes is, there's already 4 quarterbacks, I think, now, or 3 that are paid more than Patrick Mahomes. And many people would say Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league or should be the number one paid player. That's why Juan Soto should get as much as he can while he can, as we talked about, for baseball. There's some Chiefs fans tell me, oh, Mahomes needs to take a lot less money to make the team good. And, oh, my gosh, they're giving him $500 million. And I remember we said at the time, wait 5 years and this will look like a great deal, mm-hmm. a steal of a deal. It already is looking a lot better.
100%, yeah.
And Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are going to be up for big contracts. Kyler Murray got the big contract, of course. Who was the other one that got 35? Well, Aaron Rodgers got a new deal, or they altered it to where he makes like $38 million a year. So Josh Allen's just right behind Mahomes. And so Mahomes was asked about the money. And here's what Mahomes said. If you're ticked off making all the money that I'm making, you're probably a little bit messed up. I know I'm going to be taken care of for the rest of my life. Being in this organization and being on the platform that the NFL has given me, I've been able to make money off the field as well. Obviously, I want to make money and be able to buy everything I want and all that different type of stuff. But that's not the reason I started playing football, Mahomes said. The reason I started playing football was to win Super Bowls, to enjoy these relationships that I'm building on this field with all my friends who are my teammates. I think at the end of the day, if I do that, I'll be a happy guy in the end. He also pointed out other quarterbacks that kept their eye on the prize, didn't get caught up in all the money. Tom Brady, certainly one of those. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to hear from your quarterback. I think Patrick Mahomes, and we talked about this before, he grew up in a professional clubhouse, in essence. His dad was a Major League Baseball pitcher. I think that helped ground Patrick Mahomes. And I think he's so grounded and he's well mature beyond his years. Does he still like to have fun as a 26-year-old? Of course he should and he can. Big deal. Him and his wife have fun and people overreact on social media. They ain't doing anything illegal. You know, they want to spray champagne. Why not? You know, God forbid he chugs a beer and throws it down at a parade. It's okay. Now, most people like that, but there's always those few fuddy-duddies. Oh, yeah, that's not setting a good example. They won a championship. Can you let them enjoy all the work they put into winning a title? But that's what you want to hear from your quarterback. And you know, people have said this before. At what point is enough in regards to the money? If you're going to get $500 million...
Do you need $600 million?
Do you need $700 million? Right. You're also getting money, as he points out, endorsement deals. He makes even more money on top of the Chiefs contract. And yes, trust me, in a few years, they will redo and redo his contract. Mahomes will get more money than he's getting now, believe it or not. That's just the way it works. You take care of your quarterback. You definitely, when he's a franchise quarterback. And there's no question or debate, Mahomes is a franchise quarterback. He's accomplished more in his first 4 years as starter than any NFL quarterback has ever accomplished. Look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. Look at the championship. Look at the championship appearances, the AFC title games. Think about this. In Patrick Mahomes' worst year as a starter, they only made the AFC title game. They've never lost a division. They rarely lose games in division. And he's made the 4 straight AFC title games. He's made the 2 Super Bowls, MVP regular season, MVP Super Bowl. So really he doesn't have a lot more to accomplish. He's probably a Hall of Famer. He could play the next 5 years and put up really good numbers, and the Chiefs could lose every year in the divisional round of the playoffs, or maybe not make the playoffs a year or two. He's a Hall of Famer. He needs to put probably 4 or 5 really good years together, and it's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, regardless if he wins a title again or not. But I want to hear my quarterback saying those things, and I think he always has gotten it. He's understood it. Yes, money's nice. It's nice to buy whatever you want. But once you have all the money in the world, what's the motivation? Well, the motivation is to win rings. Mm-hmm. The motivation is, you know, maybe Patrick Mahomes deep down secretly wants to get the Tom Brady 7 rings. Now, he'd be smart never to say it publicly, and he hasn't. Maybe his goal is to get 4. Maybe his goal is to have more than LeBron. Maybe his goal is to win as many as Jordan. Maybe his goal is to win 2. I don't know what his ultimate goal is. I think his goal is to win 1 every year he's the quarterback. That's what I think his goal is. And that's what you want from your quarterback. Because there are other quarterbacks that have held out, unhappy with their money, demand to be traded. Deshaun Watson was one of those before all his stuff happened. And I know he's not in as good an organization as the Chiefs. But still, he wanted out. And Kyler Murray rattled the cages this offseason. You know, and now he got his big deal. And then there was a weird clause in his contract that you don't see anybody doing to Mahomes and the Chiefs in their contract. And so I just think Patrick Mahomes all along has been, I think you have to be grounded to be a successful and be a leader at such an early age for the NFL and the Chiefs and be the face of the NFL or one of the faces. And I love what he's saying. And he makes a very good point. Like, people forget these guys, especially quarterbacks, the faces of the NFL, they make a lot of money in endorsements. So if you sit here and go, well, Mahomes is only the 4th highest paid player, that's not right. Well, if you're a Chiefs fan, why do you complain about how much he's getting paid? That helps us, okay? Well, he's only the 4th highest paid quarterback, but he's the best quarterback in the league. That's kind of disrespectful. We need to take care of him a few years. Well, but Mahomes' net worth might be well more than the guys that got better contracts because he gets more endorsements than Kyler Murray, more endorsements than even Aaron Rodgers, you know, possibly. So, and then also, he's a very smart guy. He's invested in the Royals. His wife's invested in a soccer team. Is Mahomes invested in another sports organization himself? It might be just the Royals. But
I want to say he did something with Sporting.
I thought so, too. I don't
know if it was like a ownership deal, but it was something. I don't know what it
ownership
was.
Ownership goes only one way when it comes to sports, professional sports, up. So he's already reinvested
by buying part of the Royals.
Yeah.
Right? Like
maybe MLS way down the line, maybe it will go down, but the NFL ain't going down.
Money in a year,
yes.
But an owner never in this day and age loses money from the day they bought it from the day they sell it. Never.
MLB franchises with COVID and 60 game seasons, nobody in the seats. Is anybody trying to sell their team? No. And their values are higher than they've ever been before, even after COVID. Yeah. So one of the greatest investments you can make if you have a ton of money, and Mahomes has plenty, is to invest in, hey, the Royals are right across the hallway here. It's Sporting KC. And then and his wife on top of that, their whole family's invested. She's invested in the women's soccer team.
She's actually the owner
owner. Is she the only owner?
She's not the only owner, but she's like, you know, John Sherman for the Royals, right?
Like a primary owner.
Primary owner of the
team. So Mahomes is already smart ahead of his years. So quite honestly, just because he's the 4th highest paid quarterback in the league or whatever it is, don't lose sleep, fans. Oh, poor Mahomes. And I don't think anybody is. But Mahomes is making it very clear. I've got all the money, but I also get money in endorsements. And people don't even know how much that is on top of his regular contract. And so as long as Mahomes is driven by winning rings, we're okay. But if he ever gets to the point where, oh, this is boring. You know, and let's be honest. If the Chiefs won 3 straight Super Bowls, What's the motivation?
It's always to see if he can do it again with the next group or with.
But Michael Jordan won three straight, and he got somewhat bored.
Stepped away because he just the challenge. He said it right then. Right. It was like the challenge isn't there right now. Like what else? I feel like I've accomplished everything I can accomplish in the game of basketball. Yeah. That's why he left. And obviously there are underlying things there with family stuff and things like that. But yeah, when you get that high, then it does become like. I think I've accomplished everything.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of wear and tear on you to make those runs and win championships. Maybe, and I know this is a quirky thing to say, but maybe it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise that the Chiefs only have one Super Bowl so far. Because whether they would have been, just went, boom, they roll the Bucks, and then they win three in a row. Are they right there in the AFC title game last year? Maybe. Also, I think you got to remember, he's just not a one-man team. Mm-hmm. So if you win two in a row or three in a row, complacency can usually set in with your teammates. Now, I think that's one thing that Mahomes and Reed do a good job of is they motivate and inspire their teammates. But it is going to be interesting when his career is all said and done, and I want it to go as slow as possible because I think we've seen what happened to other teams when they lose their franchise quarterbacks. The exception would be the Packers, but they still only have two rings to show for it, Favre won and Rodgers won. Is that you don't want to fast play this if you're a Chiefs fan. And I've been trying to tell Chiefs fans this for a while. I know we get caught up in the loss to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. I know we get caught up in they should have beat the Bengals AFC title game last year. And for Mahomes, it was a down year when he threw for almost 5,000 yards, 37 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, and it was a bad year for Mahomes. Like Ryan Clark said, I was all wrong when I said he was broken, but I was so accustomed to him being great all the time, I had to realize that he's still good, but it looks inferior to what he was. So I thought he was really not that good. Well, he was still really good, just not great. And he could easily get right back to that this year. And it will be very interesting to see how his career unfolds, how many titles that the Chiefs win. Maybe that they won't win anymore. I don't know. Will he stay healthy? What kinds of numbers will he put up? And how much more money he'll get the next time the contract is redone, which it will be before it ends, trust me on that. It is fascinating to see. And then how long Andy Reid coaches, and then will he win Super Bowls with more than one coach? You know, will Eric Bieniemy be the next Chiefs head coach after Reid, or will it be Matt Nagy, or will it be some other guy that comes in, and then Mahomes clicks with that guy even better than Reid, or butts heads but still wins in spite of it? Because there have been many reports that Brady and Belichick butted heads, which I think when you work with people long enough, it's going to happen.
Two mentalities and approaches to the game like that, they're not going to get along all the time.
And you probably don't want them to get along all the time. So I just think it's fascinating, and I love the fact that, you know, to me, Mahomes, he's always talked like he's 10 years older than he is. Now, I don't want him to play 10 years older than he is because then his career is going to finish here very quickly.
Yeah.
But he's just always got a great head on his shoulders. And I do compare him to LeBron James from this standpoint. LeBron's obviously accomplished way more than Mahomes so far. But the one similarity to me between those two is that they do a lot of good things off the court and off the field. They've got community foundations. They're active in their communities. They've given back. LeBron's given back a ton with the Promise Schools. He's done more than some governments in our country have done to give back. And yet LeBron catches a lot of heat for various things. But LeBron's never been in trouble with the law that I know of. He's never been in some kind of big scandal and, he got caught with some girl in a hotel room. Mahomes, I know he's still a lot younger than LeBron, but Mahomes has been a model citizen. And I always say, be careful. Charles Barkley said at one time, we're not your role model, all right? We shouldn't be, and I get it. I don't think athletes should be your role model. I don't think people you've never met should probably be your role model, to be quite honest. That's just me. I could be wrong. Well, I'm not wrong. I'm not right. I mean, it's just your opinion. I mean, I would like to be somebody in my life as my role model for the most part. But with the LeBron James and Patrick Mahomes, if you wanted to pick out athletes that you wanted, if you said, okay, I don't think they should be role models, but if I got to pick a guy, I got to pick some athlete that could be a role model for my kid. You know, I think Tim Tebow would be a good one. I think that I think LeBron James would be. I think that Patrick Mahomes absolutely would be. Now, Mahomes could get arrested tomorrow, and I will change that. And LeBron could get in trouble 5 years from now, and I'll change that. But you can only go off of, you can't predict the future. This is their record. And those two guys, with all the pressure in the world, in the face of their respective leagues, and Mahomes will be for quite some time, LeBron has been for 20 years, even when he was in high school, when he was coming out, he was on Sports Illustrated cover, they were running his games on ESPN Live. These guys, with all the hype and all the pressure, although LeBron had way more hype coming into the league, they have handled it with graceful aplomb, and they have been wise beyond their years, and they have not got with the wrong crowd. And that's Derek Jeter would be another one. You know it hurts. It's a Yankee, but watching this docuseries, you know, Jeter had his fun. He was a single guy. He had his fun, but he bit a piece of the apple. He didn't try to eat the whole apple. Mm-hmm. Mahomes has his fun. He goes out with Kelsey. They go to concerts. Him and his wife have a good time. That's called life. You can do that. It's okay to do that. LeBron likes to have a good time. Sure, we all do. But they haven't put themselves in a horrible situation. And sometimes it's bad luck. It's just wrong place, wrong time every once in a while. So I really, really love that Patrick Mahomes is the face of not only the Kansas City Chiefs organization, regardless if he wins another title again. I just know that every time you have Mahomes on your team or a franchise quarterback, you have a chance every year. I don't care if you trade Tyreek Hill. I don't care if Travis Kelce gets hurt. I don't care if Andy Reid ends up retiring. As long as the Chiefs and any team have a franchise quarterback, you have a chance to win in this league. Yeah. It's something we couldn't say for many, many years.
Yeah. The Patrick Mahomes thing, and what I'm about to say is probably part of a deeper discussion, but I think when you look at Mahomes, and even like in the NBA, look at Steph Curry, mm-hmm. I think a lot of what you see as far as you talk about 10 years ahead of his time, right? I'm talking these two guys in particular I'm bringing up because they grew up around a professional sports atmosphere.
Yeah, his dad.
They know, you know, Pat Mahomes was a baseball player, mm-hmm. wasn't a football player, but sure. Del Curry was actually an NBA player.
He was a good player.
And you can see videos of Steph with Del when he was a kid, mm-hmm. and kind of he's already taken all that in. You can see that on the videos. And I think that helps a lot. One, in the fact that they've grown up around a professional locker room, they kind of understand what it takes to be a professional and how to act like a professional. And two, they've really never wanted for anything. So the financial part of it doesn't always come in, I don't think, with guys like that, because they grew up with a guy, with a father that was making a lot of money and probably had everything they wanted, right? They didn't grow up in the inner city trying to, you know, when I get to the pros, I have to make money, and that's all it's about, right?
Right.
And I think that's a benefit for the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, is the fact that came up as he was coming up in a pretty stable family, never wanted for anything. Yep. Wasn't that guy that said, hey, I have to get this contract to feed my family,
right,
to get them a new house, to mm-hmm. do this or this.
Sure.
And so most of his focus stayed right on football. And it's the same with Steph Curry. You know, most of his focus has stayed on basketball in his career. And he's been able to thrive because I feel like what he saw growing up in the NBA. And so I think that's one of the things that really sets Patrick Mahomes apart from some of these other mm-hmm. guys. Of the money part of it, right? Of I don't need that money. And obviously, like you say, yeah, the endorsements, he's getting a lot from Adidas and State Farm and all the people he's doing that for. And I really think that experience probably helps when you're moving forward and you want to be a leader, or you want to take what you've learned growing up and apply it to what you want to do as a professional as well.
It would be easy to be jealous and say, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes Jr. was born with the golden spoon. And Steph Curry he didn't have to worry about poverty, and his dad was making millions as an NBA player, and you know Patrick Mahomes' dad was in the league for a long time, made plenty of money. It could be very easy to say I had to work harder to get where I am than you do. But here's the thing that I admire about both of those guys is that they're leaders. You said it, leaders. They learned how to lead and follow and see what their dads did at a professional level. And so Patrick Mahomes, his first year as a starter, is captain. Like the team is listening to him in the huddle, in the tunnel before they got on the game. And the guy's 22, 23 at the time. But that's how much respect these teammates that are, in some cases, 10, 15 years older than Mahomes. And Curry has guys that were older than him, and he's been leading them. They respect him. And that takes a very special person, because those two, as you said, didn't have to go through, you know, worried about getting a contract to pay for my mom's surgeries or health or they're living on the slums or whatever. I grew up in the slums. No, these athletes didn't have to. Steph didn't have to do that. Patrick Mahomes didn't have to do that. But the fact that there isn't that jealousy there, maybe there's a little bit somewhere, but the fact that these guys follow these guys. And then, of course, the thing is, too, in order to be a leader, a true, real leader, you've got to perform. And, of course, those two have performed as well as anybody.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this day of social media. You know that just because they were given those things growing up, that they had the silver spoon or whatever, you know, you can tell that they're still putting in the work to be great.
Yeah. And because they know the business a little bit, too. They've heard their parents, their dads speak about the business of these games, too. Mm. So Patrick Mahomes knows that when he signed his deal, he was the highest paid quarterback. But he also knew that's only going to last for a little bit. He knows that at some point it was going to be Kyler Murray's time. It's going to be Lamar Jackson's and Josh Allen's time. They'll find one of those benchmarks to make them the highest paid, whether it's the biggest bonus or highest annual salary or whatever. They'll find a way to make them number one when it's their time. Patrick probably realizes, the deal I signed probably isn't going to be the last contract I sign either. Like you said two or three times here, they're going to redo this deal at some point. He knows that. So it doesn't bother him the way it might bother some other people to be seventh
ego,
on the list.
Huge ego.
I'm seventh on the list. I'm the seventh highest paid quarterback. Yeah. That is horrible. That's, I'm the second best quarterback.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not going to bother him. You know, and
they all have egos, but they're not massive egos.
Right.
Steph Curry and Mahomes. No. You know, they've got egos. Everybody does.
Don't put them in spots where you know what they're won. I'm the fourth best player in the NFL after I won the
You
Super
use
Bowl.
That as intestinal fortitude.
Let's not get it.
I think that was my fourth completion on that drive.
Right. Mahomes loved being the highest paid quarterback for the time he was.
Who wouldn't?
You know, it's validation for what you're doing. You know, normal people do this too. We just don't admit that we do this. It's like, wait. You know, I've quit a job because of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, whoa, you're paying someone that's been here part-time and they just signed their first full-time job. You're paying them more than what I've ever been here.
Right.
No, we're not doing that. And so, you know, a lot of times when we say, oh, that's too much, and I get it, these numbers are huge, and it's ridiculous to think about it that way, and I get it, but it's their universe, and, you know, we're not living in their universe, they're living in their universe.
But they seem pretty grounded.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, you know, when he says it's not all about the money, I believe Patrick Mahomes.
I do too.
I don't believe every person that ever says it 5 minutes after they sign a huge contract. So, I, you know, to go along with what you're saying, you know, I'm all in on Patrick Mahomes. I think he's great. If the worst thing that ever happens is his brother dances on TikTok, I'll live with that, you know.
Yeah, everybody's got to deal with something.
Yeah. If the worst thing we say about LeBron James is, well, I didn't like the way he did the decision. You know what? We'll just have to get over that.
Exactly.
You know, right.
I'll leave you again with the quote that Patrick Mahomes said, and I still think it's pretty good. If you're ticked off making all the money that I'm making, you're probably a little bit messed up. Amen, brother.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.